JFK will limp along without its longest runway. Airports say new de-icing rules need work. And NASA moves into testing for the private sector. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, March 2, 2010. In New York, JFK's runway 13 right 31 left, also known as the Bay Runway, closed yesterday for an extensive renovation that's expected to take 4 months. The project will widen the runway from 150 to 200 feet and add taxiways at a total cost of $376 million. The goal is reduction of congestion, but in the shorter term, 4 months includes the Easter and spring break travel peaks and the start of thunderstorm season. This could get interesting. To relieve some of the pressure, officials have reduced daily operations from 1,300 to about 1,050, with some help from JetBlue, which has agreed to cut about 10% of its flights out of JFK. Perhaps a deep recession is a good time to be renovating runways. NATCA's JFK chief, Stephen Abraham, said the worst congestion resulting from the change will happen 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. daily, when delays during good weather already run 15 to 30 minutes, and weather can push that out to an hour or more. But he also wholeheartedly endorses the plan to get the project done all at once, rather than a section at a time, which could have spread the pain over 2 years. Airports Council International North America has commented to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, contending that new proposed regulations regarding collection of runoff from aircraft de-icing lack needed flexibility and will place an undue burden on the industry. ACINA President Greg Principato said the proposed rule is, quote, ill-advised and will result in significant negative impacts on airports and the national aviation system, while not generating commensurate environmental benefits, unquote. In a letter accompanying the comments, ACINA asks EPA to revisit a flawed analysis that was used as the basis for the proposal, which results in a significant underestimation of the rule's associated costs and an overestimation of its environmental benefits. The group also notes the EPA did not account for the safety and operational impacts of its proposal. In the spirit of bring me solutions, not problems, ACINA specifically suggests limiting new source standards to new airports, focusing the rule on airports where the most de-icing fluid is applied, and allowing airports to meet site-specific de-icing needs. It appears NASA is already moving in the direction charted by the Obama administration's fiscal 2011 budget. The agency has announced that its Stennis Space Center in Mississippi is preparing to test Aerojet AJ-26 rocket engines for Orbital Sciences Corporation. Stennis Director Gene Goldman says the arrangement is mutually beneficial. Quote, testing the AJ-26 engine not only supplies a service for the Taurus 2 program, it also provides Stennis a unique opportunity which will help sustain the skills and capabilities we need for future test projects, unquote. Orbital Sciences President J.R. Thompson says his company is happy with the results of the collaboration so far. Quote, as currently envisioned, each AJ-26 engine that will be used aboard our Taurus 2 rocket will come through the Stennis facility for pre-launch testing prior to being integrated with the rocket, unquote. Necessary preparations to test the AJ-26, which have been underway since last April, include construction of a 27-foot-deep flame deflector trench. The center also provides RS-68 rocket engine testing for Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne. Up next on ANN, WAI has a successful event in Florida. The Air Force tries again with the X-37. And Evolution has insurance for helicopter pilots. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. This past week's Women in Aviation International Annual Conference ended Saturday at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort in Lake Buena Vista, Florida, near Orlando. The event was themed, Aviation, It's a Small World. While it was a clever nod to the famous Disney attraction, the crowd's size and diversity looked a little more like Epcot's World Showcase. WAI says international participation doubled previous events, and total attendance was almost 3,000. Represented were all areas, disciplines, and interests that make up the aviation community, including military, airline, and corporate aviation interests, and individuals immersed in history, maintenance, research, academics, engineering, and more. There were 125 exhibitors, $678,000 in scholarships awarded, and a silent auction raised another $18,000 for WAI's endowment fund, which now totals over $650,000 available for scholarships and education programs. The U.S. Air Force X-37B orbital test vehicle has arrived in Florida to be prepared for an April 19th launch aboard an Atlas V rocket. The robotic spacecraft is a continuation of the X-37 program, originally designed by NASA to test next-generation spaceflight technologies and transferred to DARPA in 2004. Boeing's Phantom Works division built the X-37B. It's designed to test airframe, propulsion, and operational technologies. The spacebound UAV will conduct orbital and reentry operations and experiments at speeds around Mach 25. The earlier X-37A was used in drop tests from Scaled Composites' White Knight carrier aircraft back in 2006. The spacecraft is called reusable, but the Model A was not. It was damaged during a landing. The X-37B is scheduled to land at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California with Edwards as a backup, but we don't know when. The Air Force has not revealed payload, mission, or duration for this flight, but the craft is designed to remain on orbit for up to 270 days. Evolution Insurance Brokers says it will make a new individual liability insurance product available to the aviation industry. The coverage offers customized, one-of-a-kind protection plans to helicopter pilots, certified flight mechanics, owners, fractional owners, and others. Known as X Insurance, the coverage includes a defense for claims or incidents resulting in a lawsuit. Evolution CEO Rick Lindsay, a helicopter pilot himself, commented, quote, "We have over 30 years of experience in the excess and surplus, hard-to-place market. Helicopter pilots are just one class we feel is misunderstood and excluded from traditional carrier plans. We are uniquely qualified to handle all kinds of aviation insurance," unquote. Still ahead, CAP warned Hawaiians about the tsunami. One NIMBY has stalled a runway expansion. And when stewardesses attack, you're listening to AeroNews.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 2nd. I'm Paul Platt. The Civil Air Patrol had a role in warning Hawaii's residents of an impending tsunami on Saturday. Hawaii Wing Commander Colonel Roger Cares explains, quote, 80% of the shoreline in Hawaii does not have a fixed base siren. CAP aircraft are the only resource for issuing tsunami warnings via a speaker system attached to the outside lower portion of the plane's fuselage, unquote. Nine Cessnas with full crews flew pre-assigned warning routes around the islands to look for anybody on or near the shoreline. The planes began sounding the tsunami warning at 6 a.m. Hawaii time, 5 hours before the wave's expected arrival. Fortunately, it turned out to be an 8-footer that caused no reported damage. A single aggressive NIMBY appears to have succeeded installing a runway extension at Madison County Executive Airport near Huntsville, Alabama. The plan was to extend the growing airport's 5,000-foot runway to 6,500 feet to improve safety and accommodate larger planes. Years of work and millions of dollars have been spent on improvements, and the next big step was relocating a road by about 250 feet. Charles Woods, who lives nearby, wrote the FAA to complain about the burden on local residents who will have increased drive times and burn more fuel in their cars after the changes. The FAA wrote him back to say it has suspended any further funding while an updated planning and environmental review is completed to address new public concerns. In some NIMBY battles, Woods would be hailed as a hero by his neighbors. In this case, maybe not so much. Owners of eight houses which would have been in the way had agreements to sell their properties to the airport authority, but now there may be no funding to buy them. Airport Chairman Tom Sharp Jr. observes, quote, "We met with all the affected residents a year and a half ago, and they all agreed to relocate. This delay has had them in limbo since then. Because of one resident's concerns, we have double-checked and triple-checked. Now we're waiting for final determination from the FAA," unquote. And finally today, passengers aboard Delta Connection Flight 887 were probably resigned to a late departure on Thursday after a passenger became ill and the plane headed back to the gate at Greater Rochester International Airport. But the flight to Atlanta was canceled outright after two female flight attendants reportedly got into an altercation. The flight was operated by Pinnacle Airlines. Company spokesman Joe Williams told the Associated Press there was no physical contact, and the reason for what he termed a verbal disagreement remains unclear. Both attendants have been removed from duty while the incident is investigated. Williams says Delta found alternate travel plans for the passengers. Across the Atlantic, Ryanair is reportedly considering hiring the combative cabin crew and charging passengers extra for in-flight entertainment. That's the latest from Aero News. Okay, I made that last part up. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation applauds the Obama administration for giving up on general aviation user fees. I know, that's what I said, but he's serious. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.